Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to expound verses 13 through 19. Amen. And so I've entitled this evening's message, The Law is Spiritual. The law is spiritual. Last week, the law, we found out, is holy, set apart. But the law is spiritual, and Paul's going to explain this as we look into the law of liberty. So are you there, starting with verse 13? And it reads, and I love his rhetorical questions. He's always asking a question, then he answers it right away. Praise God. He don't leave you guessing. Has then what is good become death to me? He answers that, certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Wow. I know that when I first read this years ago, it kind of went right over me. But, you know, you have to grow into the word at times. Or he'll just give you that revelation when you need it at the moment. But as the years have gone by, I now embrace teaching it, where at one time I feared teaching it. Because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was understanding, what I was reading, before you expound it. Let's go to verse 14. Look at this. For we know that the law is spiritual. There's where I got the topic tonight. So I didn't just conjure it up in air. I got it right out of the word. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Okay? Paul's explaining that he's carnal, but the law is spiritual. And when he means that the law is spiritual, God is spirit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so it was the finger of God that wrote the commandments. Can I get amen? God, we cannot see God because he's spirit. And so all of his laws, let me ask you this question. You can see the effects of it, but have you ever seen gravity? And if you don't, if you want to prove that the gravity exists, don't jump off your roof without a ladder. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You'll know right away there's gravity. But God created that law. And praise God he did, or we'd float away. We'd float into the atmosphere and then disintegrate. And so there are some things that God creates that we cannot see with the natural eye. Can I get amen? And so let's look at this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Wow. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. You know, it sounds controversial what he's saying here. But when you realize what he's saying is that there is a battle in your members. There's an internal battle now that you've been born again. Now the Holy Spirit is battling against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. Okay, so we see this. Verse 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Okay. Let's go to verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Nothing good dwells. Say that with me. Nothing good dwells. That's why if you ever hear someone, yeah, I'm good, man. No, you're not good. None of us are good. There's nothing good in us. Can I get an amen? We've been set free from the power of sin. We're no longer going to see eternal what? Death. But we still live in a body of flesh that we're reading right here, and nothing good in it dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. What? What? So we're going to deal with this issue, because every one of us in here deal with this issue. Every one of us. Can I get amen? Amen. None of us have arrived. None of us have been transformed to that new body just yet. Can I get amen? We desire to have that new body. We look to the scriptures and see God has prepared a body for us. But we're not in that new body just yet. Can I get amen? Our soul and spirit has been washed in the blood. And now we are eternally sealed until the day of redemption. But this flesh dwells no good thing. No good thing. I put it this way. I'm gonna tattletale on me. I do not trust my own flesh. If you trust your flesh, you're not reading what the scripture's saying. Because there's nothing good in it. Can I get amen? Amen. But this is why God gave the church, us, the church, the power to be overcomers. Can I get amen? Amen. In other words, we don't have to live in that sin that he set us free from. Can I get amen? Amen. Now, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can say, flesh. I'm not going to let you have a Burger King life, having it your way. Can I get amen? Amen? Now we can learn to love God and please God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Are we going to live perfect? No. But we can strive for perfection through all the trials, through all the tribulation, through all our mistakes. We're still pressing. We're still moving forward toward God. How many of you can honestly say since the day you got saved, you haven't lived a perfect life? Oh, yeah. Praise God. And so this is what Paul, I love Paul, because he describes the war going on internally. Not externally. The war has its own war. The world has its own vices. But our flesh. What's the number one word that comes to mind what our flesh does? What's the number one? I'm just going to...
Evil.
Yes. But there's one word that can describe, and it happens to every one of us.
Belly?
No. We are... Our own flesh deceives us.
Yes.
Deception. We think something that maybe this is of God, and we do things, but yet sometimes we compromise and we deceive ourselves. Because our heart, there's nothing good in it. Oh, but God understands. Yeah, he understands that we're very sinful, and some of the choices we make sometimes don't please him. So let's break this down, and let's start with verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? He answers it, certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So Paul asks, did the law, which is good, cause my doom? That's a good question, isn't it? Again, he answers his own question, of course not. God's law is perfect. God's law is good. Thank God for the law, because without the law, we wouldn't realize we were sinful. It was the law that exposed our sin. But Paul went on further in his teachings in the book of Romans. The law could not save us. You know why? Because our flesh has fallen short of the glory of God. So if we had the body like Adam and Eve before the fall, we wouldn't need Christ to come. But because of the fall, he came to save us from what? Our sin. So the law was given by God. It tells us what God desires of us. And it is good. It is good. And so, look what God did for us. And I found some good key scriptures to parallel what we're speaking about in Romans 7. But in Ephesians 2, look at this. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that is Satan. He was our taskmaster. He was the one that we adhered to. He's the one that we followed until Jesus, hallelujah, came and separated us from him. Can I get an amen? God purchases back. How did he purchase us back from the devil? By the blood. By the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. And it says, "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Notice, spirit is locate spirit. That is the wicked one. That is the demonic realm. Anytime you see capital S in the Word of God, it's Holy Spirit. So he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit that now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. And unsaved, unregenerated people are disobedient. It comes naturally. You don't have to teach a little child how to be bad in manners. It's automatic. You have to teach them good manners. Can I get an amen? That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not what? Depart from it. Something we must do to our children. Something that's lacking now in our country. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes. If our parents truly loved our children, we wouldn't be in the state we're in right now. Look at verse 3 right up here. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Who are the others? Who are the others? By nature, the children of wrath. At one time, the wrath of God was upon us until Jesus came and saved us. Now he deferred the wrath from us. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation now? But who are the others? The ones that are not saved yet. The ones that have not made Jesus Lord and Savior of their life. And many of us know many people like that. That's why we pray for them. Can I get amen? Don't stop praying for them. You never know when the lights will turn on and God will draw them. Just like he drew you. Just like he drew me. He drew me at the age of 30. Praise God. But prior to that, I was just strictly a knucklehead. You couldn't tell me anything about religion or God or anything like that, because then we'd be stepping outside. That's how much I hated religion and the things that the Bible talks about. But God had to humble me. Did you know that when a person comes to a place of repentance, they've been now humbled by God? Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? They've been humbled by him. Praise God. Look at the book of James says right up here. "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own what? Desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It starts off with one drink. Then it starts off with a second one. It could be anything. Some people, back in the day, it was beer. It went from one beer to two. Then it went to a six-pack. Then it went to a case. And now there's cirrhosis of the liver.
Come on.
Can I get an amen? Amen. Because it brought forth death.
Yes.
Sin brings forth death. And when you coddle sin and you wallow in sin, you're putting a death sentence upon yourself. And there's no one to blame, but we did it to ourselves. Can I get amen? It is sin, not the law, that brings death. And it is the only thing through the law that we can see how terrible sin really is. It's through the law. God's law. Remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet and all that. And one of the things thou shalt not want, murder. Back then, before the law came out, people were killing each other. You could burn someone's toast. And they'd take you out. For no reason. That's why the law had to come. And said, no, that's murder. Sin uses God's good commandments to continue to produce death in people because people cannot keep the law in their own strength. Did you know that? You can't keep the law. This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need grace and mercy. Can I get amen? Because no matter how you try to keep the law, as soon as you break one law, you've broken them all. You heard me say last week, you can handcuff my arms, my legs. You can put me in a what? In a body. What do you call those?
Straitjacket.
But you can't bind up my mind unless you knock me out. I'll still be thinking in my mind that I hate you for doing this to me. And I want to kill you. So sin will always be with us, but it's how we handle it on earth as believers. Can I get amen? And God has empowered the church to live holy and set apart. Despite of our shortcomings, despite of our setbacks, despite of our mistakes, God still sees us holy. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Aren't you so blessed that God don't give up on us?
Yes.
Listen, he already knew the junk in the trunk before he saved us. Just imagine your whole life. You know your whole entire life from birth. Well, I didn't start remembering my life until or maybe around 5 or 6. But your whole entire life up until this present day, he already knew who you were and how you would become and still saved you despite of yourself.
Amen.
How many are so blessed to know that?
Amen.
Huh? So it wasn't, he didn't save us by performance. He didn't save us by looks. He saved us by a sovereign hand. He chose us before the foundation of the world. We had nothing to do with it other than when it was time, he drew us to the cross. Hold on, aren't you so blessed that he drew you? You know why I'm so blessed? I'm so thankful. Not because he delivered me from a life of debauchery. Not because he set me free. Because I look at others that have not yet come to the saving knowledge and I know they're going to perish. And he saved me from that state. That's why I'm so thankful. He could have left me out there. He could have left you out there. But he gave us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. This is why one of the ways to please God is not so much doing the do's and don'ts of life. It's just to love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Fall in love with him. Hallelujah. And it's a relationship. He's not up there, man, look what you did today. not about that. He already knows us. So here's a question. How can we be free from sin yet continue to do wrong? That's always going to be a good question, isn't it? You see, saints, in Christ, we are free from the penalty of sin, which is judgment, and the power of sin, which is hopelessness. At one time, we were without any hope. And then Jesus came and gave us, hallelujah, the hope of glory. But while still in the flesh, saints, we are not free from the presence of sin and all of its temptations and the possibility of failures. I can honestly say to you right now, for 35 years of walking with God, I have failed Him at times. Can I get an amen? And yet, He saw me through. He didn't give up on me. What did He do? When I did a face plant, He came with His spiritual spatula and scraped me off the ground and picked me up. He dusted me off and says, come on, keep following me. Aren't you so blessed? Know that God is for us, not against us. But we have to understand through the God's word this war that's within us. And this is why I love about the Apostle Paul. Because he explains these things so that we don't get frustrated, so that we don't throw in the towel, so that we don't give up when we fail God. And when we do fail God, the Bible's clear. Confess your sin, because He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. He gives us an out. He doesn't allow us to stay in that state of sinfulness like we once lived. He empowered us. You know, I think it was last Sunday I spoke about the great chasm, the enmity. There's a divide where God is and where evil is. And they cannot come together. They cannot. Well, guess what? Our mind is no different. Because it's very sinful. And how do I know that? Because God's word says it. Look, we're going to just look ahead in the next chapter in Romans 8. And it explains it. Look at this. Verse 7. Oh, let's go. I'm sorry, I went ahead of 14. We're going to look at verse 14 right here. Yes. Let's go to verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. This is where I got the topic. Amen? Amen. But I am carnal, sold under sin. What does that all mean? I'm carnal? Well, he further explains that. We're going to jump ahead so we have clarity on this. Right up here in Romans 8, 7. Look at this. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So just for one moment, let's just look at it before we got saved. The Ten Commandments was just ink on pages. It meant nothing to us. It meant nothing to me. The Bible didn't mean anything to me. Matter of fact, I never read it. There was no desire to read it. But when I got saved, then God put in us that desire to know who He is. If you want to know who Jesus is without second guessing anything, read the Word. Be in your Bible. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's why the acronym for Bible is what? Basic instructions before leaving earth.
Oh, okay.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Basic instructions before leaving earth. So we have to understand the Bible is all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Him. It's history, basically, is His story. If you want to break up that word history, it's His story. And so we have to understand that when we read God's word, we're reading about our Messiah. We're reading about how he created us. We're reading about how sin entered into the world and how he came to deliver us and save us. Praise God. So look at this, the next verse up here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Notice capital S. When we got saved, we got filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Praise God. I'm so blessed that I shared it last week when Brother Felipe laid hands on me. The Holy Ghost fell on me. Was never the same since. It's been 35 years. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit has never left. Praise God. Look at this. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But here is a word of caution right up here. Look at this. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Ooh. What does that mean? That means, I'm going to put it in a nutshell. You know, I love altar calls, and I love when you give invitation to receive Christ. But some people just repeat a prayer and go home and still live like the devil. Because they didn't receive the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit living in you, you're not his. This is not Pastor Fee. This is not Fee 101. This is God's word. It says it right there in front of you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of what? Sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So when he came in, he made us come alive. And now we can stand before a holy God, righteous before him. Not self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is but filthy rags. And you know what filthy rags mean in the Old Testament. It was a woman's cloth. You know what that means. But look at this. This is why we need the Holy Ghost. This is why. Because it's the only thing that's going to take us out of this earth. Can I get an amen? Because the next verse of scripture explains it. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, turn to your neighbor and say, God dwells in you.
God dwells in
you. God dwells in you.
God dwells in you.
So look at this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when Jesus comes and takes the church home, guess what? The dead in Christ will rise first. We that who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with him. Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. Praise God. How many so blessed to know that when you got saved, it was a done deal with him? Thank you, God. You see, Paul writes, the trouble is not with the law, but with me. Because I am sold into slavery, and sin was our what? Taskmaster. Praise God. How many so blessed to know that we are no longer under that old taskmaster? We're a slave now to Christ. And I'd rather be a slave to Christ than to old Slew Foot. Old Slew Foot, he chewed you up, spit you out, and regurgitate you 24/7. The law was an uncanny capacity for reminding us of what we once were. Praise God. And of how captivating that old life can still appear. You know what I love about God? He didn't take away our memory. We still remember on what we once were. So we could tell others that what he did for us, he can do for you.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
Our hope never shifts back to the law, but we must daily focus on Christ and him alone. Let's move on to verse 15 in Romans chapter 7. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But I hate that I do. Let me ask you this question, and you don't have to say what it is. Throughout your walk, have there been certain sins that every now and then raise up their ugly head and it became a battle again? Oh, come on. I'm going to raise my hand. And yet, but look at this. And yet, you're still here wanting to learn and to grow and to press and to strive. You know, that lets me know that whenever you realize that there's a war, that's a good thing. It's when you surrender to the flesh, that's a bad thing. Because once you surrender to the flesh, you won't want to hear or do anything that has to do with the Word of God. You'll be running away like a prodigal kid. And so we're going to struggle with issues of life. Things are going to pop up. It's going to raise his ugly head. But here's the good news. We can recognize that thing again. And then we can curse it to its root. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We don't have to play footsie with it no more. We can realize what it is and bind it and rebuke it. Because God has given us what? Power to walk on what? Scorpions and snakes.
Yes.
And put our foot on the devil's neck. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. You see, Paul wrote this also to the Galatian church. Look at this. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Thank God for the conviction. Thank God that there's a power working in me to remind me, don't go there. And if you peered at it, if you listened to it, and if you dabbled in it, now get on your knees and confess it. And cry out to God. And guess what God does? He'll wash you and cleanse you. Because he knows our frailty. He knows our weaknesses. Here's what I love about being a Christian. We don't no longer stay in it. We recognize it. And we run from it. Where in times past, we laid in it. And didn't care. We didn't care how it affected other people. We didn't even care how it affected our own life. Paul shares three lessons that he learned in trying to deal with his old sinful nature, his desires. Number one, look at this. Knowledge of the law is not the answer. Because the law will point it out, but the law cannot save. Can I get an amen? The law can't save. Praise God. Look at this. Self-determination to want to do what is right doesn't succeed. Let's look at that. Self-determination to want to do what is right doesn't succeed. Why? Because we have this sinful body. And so until we get the new one, I don't care. If you tell God, I'm a stellar saint, he knows our heart. He knows what's in us. Look at number three. Becoming a Christian does not stamp out all sin and temptation from a person's life. It doesn't. How many so blessed to know that because of Christ, we can overcome these things? We don't have to be what? We don't have to be without the power of God to help us, because He helps us. Being born again starts in a moment of faith, but becoming like Christ, it takes a lifetime. Can I get an amen? Amen. 35 years, and I'm still striving with God. I'm still saying, oh God, help me, use me. I need you, God. I need you every moment, God. You could be walking with Him for 80 years and you still need Him. We're going to need Him until we get to the other side. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Paul compares Christian growth to a strenuous race, like a race or a fight. I love how he describes it, because that's the only way he saw it. That was the only way how he dealt with it. Look what he wrote to the Corinthian church right here. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Meaning a crown that will last forever. Look at verse 20. Therefore, he says, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Wow. You know, when I read that, God spoke to me. He said, before you minister to people one-on-one and you point out stuff, you better check your own heart. Can I get an amen? Well, you know what, brother? This is what God showed me about you. Be careful on that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah? Next time someone does that, have a little pocket mirror. And point it right at them. Okay, go ahead, brother. I want you to look into this mirror. Can I get an amen? Look at what he says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. This is what God wants to do with you one-on-one. He'll deal with you in the way he wants to deal with you. Can I get an amen? How he deals with me is not the same way he deals with you. Look at this. I myself should, he goes, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And that's the last thing he wants, is to be disqualified from the race. Can I get an amen? And then Paul wrote to Timothy, look at this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what God is saying to keep. Keep the faith. Have hope in God. Know that He's with you. Know that every mistake we make, He's with us. Know that we're not going to live a perfect life down here. If you think you're going to live a perfect life, think again. We're not. But He's with us to help us to see us through. You know what I love about God? He don't put you on blast. Just imagine if he put all of our secret sins on the screen here. You've heard me say this. I'd be the first one to run out the door. I beat you all to it. That's what I love about God. He deals with us in a special way where he doesn't He's careful with his children because he knows how delicate some of us are. Will he chastise us? Yes. And some of us need a nalgada. But he don't destroy us. Sometimes, you've heard me say it like this, he'll take the board of education to the seat of your understanding. Paul has been emphasizing since the beginning of all of his letters, no one in the world is innocent and perfect. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Listen, one of the things that I want to also that we can adhere to tonight, when God is using you incredibly, don't get puffed up.
Yes.
Don't say, oh, look at me now. Look what I'm doing for God. Stay humble. Stay humble. Whatever you do in secret with him, let him shout it out. Let him exalt you. Let him lift you up. But there's a lot of people that I've come across, they need to be validated. Yolanda and I, we were, you know, we have our little talks here, and we look at 17 years of pastoring a church, and we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly that have come through the church. And we pray for them all. Oh, God, help them. The stellar saints. And the ones that left without saying goodbye. We still love them. We still pray for them. Why? Because it's his church, not ours. And we've been blessed to have a little church that we can minister to the body of Christ. It's his church. Praise God. And so, move it on to verse 16 in Romans chapter 7. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. And so, saints, we want to obey God's law, yet, as I've been teaching us tonight, or just reminding us, we still fail, don't we? We fall short. Our failure is not the law's fault, nor is it our own fault. It is this. It is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. Sometimes it comes automatically. Sometimes that deep-seated, whatever's seated, embedded in us, that sinful, will rise its ugly head in a moment of time. Without even you thinking about it, it'll just come up. And until God gives us that new body, we have to understand that there's a battle until he comes back for us. Stay in the good fight. This is why he said, I fought the good fight. What did he fight? The good fight of faith. He didn't lose his faith. Even when he was persecuted, even when he fell short, even what we're reading, what he said, there's things that I want to do and I don't do it. There's things that I shouldn't do, but I still do it. He's telling us that Paul himself, the Apostle Paul, battled in his flesh. And he battled with the elements outside of his flesh. And so are we. We're no different from him. Can I get amen? He's showing us how we can overcome. You see, saints, if sin did not exist, then the law would give us guidelines for living perfectly. And we'll never live perfect. Look at this. But sin perverts everything. It perverts everything. It does. It's everything in this world is tainted because we still live in a fallen world. Until God comes and renovates the earth, which he will in the book of Revelation, we have to deal with the elements that are with us right now. But let me tell you, when he comes, He's going to make things beautiful. Just imagine a world without any evil, without any murder, without any sin, no pornography, no drugs, no child trafficking. There won't be no armies, no police. There'll be none of that. Just him ruling from Jerusalem. How many can't wait for that moment? Well, hang in there. Don't throw in the towel. Keep living the life that he's called you to live. Stay set apart for him. Even with our own faults and failures. He doesn't look at that like we look at ourselves. He's looking at us to encourage us to finish the race. Praise God. And so, verse 17 in Romans chapter 7. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul's not abdicating responsibility for his sin. Instead, saints of God, he is making the point that his desires and the sin within him are in constant conflict. This is what I wake up and I say, God, thank you for the battle. Thank you for the conflict that's in me. You know why? Because we don't surrender to it. We recognize it now. Oh, no. I'm not going to do that again. Especially when he has delivered us from certain areas in our life. But they'll raise up their ugly head and tempt you again. Did you know that old slew foot doesn't give up? The Bible says he comes to buffet you in seasons. He'll leave for a season and come back. Sin is a power at times can still win because his redemption is not yet complete. Meaning the redemption of the body. So until we get that new body, we're in a war. We're in a fight. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so look what John wrote on the island of Patmos. And by the grace of God, Yolanda and I, we've been to the island of Patmos. You take a 4-hour boat ride from Ephesus, from Turkey, and you're on the name of the sea. It's not the Mediterranean, but it's a different sea, the Aegean Sea. It's a 4-hour ride, and there's waves splashing the whole works. And you're going like this. And then you go to this little island in the Grecian islands, and it's called Patmos. And then you dock in, you get out of the boat, and they take you to this one cave that's on that island. And when you walk in, there's all kinds of artifacts in there. This is where John was. And, you know, they got all this in there. But that is the place where he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. On the island of Patmos. It's a real place. Praise God. And this is what he wrote in 1 John chapter 3. Look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Praise God. But look at this in verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be what? Like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So when, hallelujah, when the trumpet calls and the dead in Christ rises first, and then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up, we will be changed and we will be like him. And then we'll get to see him face to face. One of my prayers is, Jesus, I want to see you. I want to see the God who created me. I want to see the God who saved me. I want to see the God who filled me with His Spirit. And then I want to fall at His feet. And I just want to hug Him and run to Him. How many of you can't wait to see Him? I can't. I want to see the Lord. I want to see this awesome God who saved me. And I want to tell Him how much I love Him. And tell Him, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Two verses left in this teaching tonight. Let's go to verse 18 of Romans chapter 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So saints, in our sinful nature, there is nothing good. Paul sees this as part of being just human in this human flesh. Although saints, we belong to Christ and have died to sin, we still live in a sinful world and have a sinful nature, and it is rotten through the core, through and through. There's nothing good in it. That's why we can't trust it. Can I get an amen? The tension continues, saints, trying to do good and not being able to do it. So this is what I love. We can never be perfect. But, hallelujah, by faith, we are declared righteous before Him. Can I get an amen? So when God sees us now, aren't you so blessed? When He looks down, He don't see all your imperfections. He don't see all the areas that you're still working on. He doesn't call you sinners no more. All He sees now is the blood. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is Jesus. Thank you, God, who has saved us. And guess what? We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to run around Sweetwater's football field and do 200 laps. We came to Him by faith. And He saved us. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not what persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of what? The Spirit and of power, that your faith should what? Should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, that's what changes us, is the power of God. Not what I would say up here, not what someone will tell you, but it's the power of God that'll change you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. It is the power of God. And He will change us from the inside out. Thank you, God. And so we look now at our last verse, verse 19. For the good that I will what? For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I what?
Practice.
You see, saints, believers still have a sinful nature that pulls them to do what they don't want to do. Sin's a magnet. Sin's a deceiver. But we're overcomers. And never allow yourself or the devil condemn you. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Because the Bible says there is no longer what? Condemnation upon us. We've been set free. And so don't let the enemy in your flesh dupe you. If you made a mistake, confess it and keep moving. Keep pressing toward the prize and the call. Keep pressing toward Jesus. He's not through with you. He will help you. He will bless you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Without the Holy Spirit's help, the person is dominated by the power of sin and continues to do evil when he actually desires to do good. You ever heard this before? And we can't laugh at them because we were there. You invite someone to church. Oh, you know what? There's some things I got to clean up and I'll come. Guess what? They're never going to clean up nothing. Because they can't. They have no power to. That's why Jesus said, come as you are. Come as you are. Praise God. And we close with this scripture right up here. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is what? There is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. Hang in there, saints of God, because the Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Hallelujah. Nothing that's going to hold us back. There's nothing, not even our flesh, not Satan, not people. God's perfect will that he has established within you, he will, hallelujah, allow you to become overcomers. And we, all of us, are going to cross that line. And the one thing that I can't wait to hear him say to all of us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many can't wait to hear that? You know, I know this is a tough teaching for some of us and for some people that are listening to this, but I want to encourage you. With Christ, all things are possible. And you may be watching right now on Facebook and YouTube, and maybe, just maybe, you logged in and you're saying, wow, I'm struggling in this area. I didn't realize until God spoke to me right now. Well, I'm going to let you know that there is hope. There's a lively hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is open up your heart to him and allow him to come in. Bible says that he wants to sup with you, meaning he wants to come in and dine with you. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity for you right now to receive the Lord by faith. So I want you to pray this prayer by faith and ask God to come into your heart and allow him to do the miracle. Something that you cannot do within your own strength. You need the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the grace of God to do the mighty work in your life. And so pray this prayer by faith and expect God to do this miracle. Pray with me now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Woo, he's worthy. He's worthy, worthy, worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.